So about 5.5 years ago, after I accepted the call to come to Essex and made some of the necessary arrangements and plans to be examined by Classis Chatham, which was a terrifying thought, and to be ordained, I was asked a question by my mentor at the time. He was going to preach at the ordination or the installation service here, and so he asked me, what passage would you like me to preach from? And I'd never thought about that before. And so I'm pretty sure as we sat, I think we sat in Tim Hortons, I'm pretty sure I just stared at him with a blank face thinking, like, I don't even know how to answer that question. And so to help me, and at least I think that's what he was trying to do, he asked me this really big question. He said, what passage would you like to kind of define or set up your ministry in Essex? What one passage would you like to kind of say, this is what it looks like, you know, my ministry in Essex? I was like, that doesn't help. that just makes it seem so much bigger. And so he's like, you know, so okay, what are some of your favorite passages? And you know, and you kind of think, and I'm like, well, I really like Habakkuk. I mean, that's one of my favorite books of the Bible. And I love the Psalms because it gives this complete vocabulary of how we can give our worship to God and give glory to God. The Old Testament narratives, the parables, the Gospels, Paul's letters. And then one verse came to mind. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 7, where Paul says, but we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. The first time I saw that passage was on the inside of a CD jacket. And so for some of the younger people who have grown up in the Spotify generation, there used to be CD jackets, like you'd go to a store and you'd buy a physical CD. Shayla, Ruth is it? But you would buy this physical CD and there would be artwork in it. There would be all the lyrics to the songs. Everything would be in there. And on the back of this CD jacket, as I opened the Jars of Clay album, it had that verse, but we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. And I thought that was pretty cool because at that time, Jars of Clay, I think it was 97, I'm dating myself, but it was their first album that they released. Their song Flood was huge on the radio, and so this was this Christian band who was making it in the secular radio world, and on the back of their CD case said, but we have this treasure in jars of clay. And I thought that was just a really cool picture of what it looks like to be a Christian. And what it looks like to share the gospel, that we have this treasure in jars of clay. But the Corinthians, to whom Paul wrote this letter, would say that that was the problem with Paul. That he had this treasure in jars of clay because they were embarrassed for him. They were embarrassed of him, of this man who claimed to proclaim this impressive and this wonderful gospel, and yet anything about him was unimpressive. And it wasn't all that wonderful. Because in Corinth, image was everything. It was all about how you looked. It was all about how successful you were. It was about the kinds of clothes and the mode of transportation. It was about the reputation that you had in the town. It was about the spiritual gifts that you could show when you were in church together. And so if you were going to proclaim the gospel in that environment, well, they thought you better be impressive. That you better be more than a jar of clay, and Paul wasn't. So they were embarrassed for him. And Paul made it even worse for himself because he wasn't all that concerned with being impressive. At the beginning of his letter, Paul says, "We do not want you to be uninformed about the hardships that we suffered in the province of Asia." Paul begins his second letter to the Corinthians. Well, actually, this is his fourth letter, but second letter that we have in the Bible. He begins it by saying, you know what? I want you to know that we have had a really hard time. I want you to know that I know you think things should just be kind of going from one great thing to the next, but actually it has been one struggle to the next, and we want you to be aware of all that is happening in Asia. And the Corinthians are thinking, stop it, Paul. Like for once, just stop talking about your failures. Stop talking about the troubles that you face. Stop highlighting your weakness at every single step along the way where you've been beaten and flogged and shipwrecked and feared for your life. Stop talking about that. Be impressive. But for Paul, this was the very point of everything that he did. And it was the very reason why the Corinthians believed in the first place. It wasn't because Paul was impressive. It wasn't because Paul rode into town and won them over by his superb speaking skills and clever wordplay. It wasn't because Paul just walked in and looked like a guy that everyone would want to listen to. But it was because through Paul, they saw and they experienced the glory and the wonder and the utter impressiveness of God. Paul was just the messenger. He was just the vessel, just the jar of clay for that glorious, glorious message of the gospel. Paul says, you say you want something impressive. You say you want something that looks glorious and wonderful. You want something that you can point to and say, that's our guy, but we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the all-surpassing power is from God and it's not from us. Because Paul was so ordinary. Because Paul didn't try to make much of himself. Because Paul didn't try to pump his chest and make things seem like it was because of what he was doing. Because Paul didn't do that, the glory of God was made known through him. Paul was a jar of clay. And in his day, that was kind of the modern equivalent of a plain cardboard box. People would use jars of clay, which had little or no value, and they would put their treasures in them, and they would store them in there because no one would ask them where they got the jar. No one would pay attention to this treasure. You know, this treasure. No one would look at the jar of clay and go, wow, that's a really nice jar. Where did you get that? People would store things in these jars of clay, partly because it wouldn't draw attention to their treasures, but partly because they were ordinary. They were easy to get. You could just walk down the street and buy one at the corner store for a penny. They were just ordinary. And Paul says, we have this treasure in jars of clay. They were the kind of thing where when people saw a jar of clay filled with something, no one asked about the jar. People only paid attention to the contents, to what was inside, to what the jar was holding, because the jar of clay was never the center of attention. Just this past week, I had someone come through the house to give a quote for how much it would cost to move our stuff. And so he walked through every room, and he probably went through our house in about 10 minutes. But he walked through every room, and he looked inside, and he made some marks on his checklist. And now in some of the rooms that he walked into, there were boxes full of stuff. Boxes of different varieties. Some were, these nice U-Haul boxes, or these nice boxes that we got from Sandra, which are really, really good quality boxes, and some of them are diaper boxes. But he never once asked me about the box. He never said, wow, those are really nice boxes. You know, when you move, we really like it when people use these official moving boxes because they pack nice and they're all the same size. He didn't care about the boxes at all. Never once did Frank ask me about the box. He would just walk into the spare room and he said, okay, so how many boxes are in here? Okay, what's in the box? Sheets, toys, extra stuff. Okay, and he would just tick, tick, tick on his little checklist. It was never about the box. It was always about what was inside. And that's what Paul was saying to the Corinthians. Paul was saying he could get up in front of the Corinthians and he could try to be impressive. He could try to do all the things that they wanted him to do. He could try to be all the things that they wanted him to be. He could paint the box, and he could look like a nicer version of himself. But Paul's saying that's only going to take away from what really this is all about. Because it's not about Paul. It's not about the container. It's not about the jar of clay. It's about the gospel, this message that Paul proclaims that in Jesus Christ, they have been saved from sin and death and hell. And in Jesus Christ, they have been reconciled to God and saved for his purposes, to make his name great, to make the gospel in all of its brilliance known in the world. And so it's not Paul that's impressive. It's not Paul that's brilliant. It's not Paul that's saving people and giving them salvation. It's not Paul that's giving people hope in their anxiety. Just as it's not the Corinthians. It's not the jar of clay. It's not the cardboard box. It's God. It's the treasure of the gospel, which tells us all that God has done for us and all that God is doing and all that God will do. And so that message of the gospel that we carry around in everything we do, that is the treasure. And Paul says, we are the jar of clay, the cardboard box. Because the truth is, God has placed this treasure of the gospel in us, and so we are a container for that marvelous treasure. That's what we're called to be. The Corinthians thought Paul should be some fancy oak chest with elaborate carvings or some elaborate pottery urn or some designer handbag. But Paul says, no, we are called to be a jar of clay. A cardboard box, something plain and ordinary and unimpressive, so that all the focus stays on the content, stays on that wonderful treasure that has been given to us to hold. Now, I'm sure that was a tough sell in Corinth. And I'm sure of that because 21st century North America, 21st century Western society is a lot like first century Corinth. And so, like them, most of our culture is obsessed with image, is obsessed with who's wearing what and with how people look and who's hanging around with who and what celebrity preacher is doing this and what Justin Bieber is saying and what this person is doing. We're obsessed with that as a culture. We want to be impressive. Whether it's our church or ourselves or our possessions, we want to drive the nice car. We want to have people look at us and go, wow, they've made it. And if we want to be impressive, it's humiliating that Paul comes in and says, you know what, if you want to be impressive, if you really want to do what you're called to do, this is what you should look like. This is what we're called to be, a cardboard box. And I think part of the reason that we want to be impressive and that we want to be noticed is that we think that if we're not impressive, if we're not noticeable, if we don't have that wow factor, if we don't have the followers on social media, or if people look at us and they see more weakness than anything else, we think God can't use us. But Paul says just the opposite is true. He was beaten, he was flogged, he was shipwrecked, he was run out of town, he was made fun of, he was belittled, he was abandoned, he was hurt, he faced failure seemingly everywhere he turned, he was hard-pressed on every side but not crushed, perplexed but not in despair, persecuted but not abandoned, struck down but not destroyed. He said, we always carry around in our body the death of Christ. And that word for death is the process of dying. So we always carry around in our bodies the way of the cross so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in us. Paul says it's because he faced all of those things and because he was so unimpressive that it showed that the very power of the gospel was declared through him. I mean, if it wasn't true, why would he keep going? Why would he want to be flogged? Why would he want to be imprisoned? Why would he want to get made fun of and chased out of town? Why would he keep on doing that and signing up for that? But he keeps going, and the only explanation for it is that Jesus is alive. And the gospel which he declares is true. And so we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. And so that's our calling. Not to be impressive, not to draw attention to ourselves, not to think that we need to get to a certain point of success so that at that point we can turn and say, here, now you can see the gospel. We're called to do that in everything we do, to be a jar of clay, a cardboard box, a container for the glorious and wonderful and powerful message of the gospel. And that's a really humble calling. I mean, over and over, the gospel tells us that we're this. The gospel tells us that God does all the work. That salvation is the work of God alone, that faith is a gift of God, that our calling to live as his disciples and to be a part of the work that God is doing in the world, all of that is initiated by God and carried out through us by the Holy Spirit. And so we're the vessel, the container. We are the cardboard box carrying the most powerful and life-giving and glorious message of the gospel. And something happens when cardboard boxes get used. They get thrown onto a truck. I mean, if you've had a package delivered from Amazon or something and it's shown up at your door, most of the time the box is not in the best of shape anymore. They get thrown onto a truck. They get thrown into a room. They get cut open. They get corners bashed in. They get ripped. They get torn. Sometimes they get wet, and then they just start to fall apart. They get holes punctured in them. But what happens when all of that goes on is you start to see more of what's inside the box, more of what the box is holding. I mean, there's that moment of surprise when you get that box from Amazon, but then you realize that you can actually see what's inside already. And Paul says, that's the point. That's the point. It's not about the outside. It's not about the box. It's not about us. I mean, God calls us and God loves us and God uses us, but it's not about us. It's not about having this fancy box. It's about allowing people to see the treasure that we have been given to hold. We may get kicked around. We may face difficult times. We may get ripped up and beaten down and torn. But all of those things, Paul tells us, are opportunities for the gospel to shine through us. All of those are opportunities for us to show that this all-surpassing power comes from God and not from us. We don't need to be fancy oak chests. We don't need to be elaborate jewelry boxes. We don't need to be designer handbags. We are called to be a jar of clay or a cardboard box so that people will see the gospel in us. And so when it comes down to it, in a final service, in a final sermon, that's my prayer for myself. That's my prayer for Essex CRC. That's my prayer for each of us. God has given us this incredible gift. I mean, we come here every Sunday, and it's kind of a routine. We kind of do this thing where we come into worship and we sing songs of praise. We have a prayer of confession. We sing some more. We pray and lift up our concerns to God. We hear God's word. We sing and we go home. And it becomes routine. But we have been given this incredible treasure. We have hope today. We can look at our phones after church like I did yesterday, and we can see that something has happened in Colorado and that police officers have been shot. We can see that the world is seemingly at times falling apart. But yet we have hope. Because we know that today God is at work, that God is doing something, God is renewing the world, but we also know how it ends. And God has given us that hope. The gospel tells us that God's reaction to our sin was his promise to fix it. That he was going to send his son. And that's just what he did. Sending Jesus to earth to be born for us, to die for our sins as the perfect sacrifice, and then raising him from the dead so that we could have a new life in him, so that day by day we can die to our sin, we can die to ourselves, so the gospel is revealed and we receive his life. But none of that is what we deserve. It's grace. And in that grace, he calls us to live for him. In that grace, he calls us to be a container for the gospel. And I pray that as containers for the gospel, that we would be a cardboard box. That we wouldn't try to draw the attention to ourselves, but that we would let the gospel shine through us. So that others can see that it is at work in us by the way that we live and the hope that we have and our willingness to follow Christ every day in everything that we do. And so I pray that in everything, in the year ahead and everything beyond that God brings to us, I pray for Essex CRC and I pray for all of us that we will remember that we are called to be jars of clay. Cardboard boxes, so that our whole lives may show that this surpassing power is from God and not from us, that they will see that this surpassing power and grace and love and brilliance and glory is from God and not from us. To God be the glory, now and always. Let's pray. Lord our God, you have called us to be your servants. You have called us as your children and sent us into the world as your messengers. Help us to not get in the way. Help us to not make it about us and ourselves and our church and our programs, Lord, but help us to always keep it about you. Lord, may the power of your gospel shine in our hearts and in our lives every day. We pray this in Jesus' name, our Lord and our Savior. Amen.